This talk today is a bit of two topics. It's a progress report and also some findings of what we found this last year. This research has kind of been ongoing with cooperation with Ed Barnes from Cotton Incorporated and the three scientists at the Cotton Gin Lab, myself, Dr. Pelletier, our research leader, Dr. Greg Holt, and Dr. John Wanier, who have been very helpful in this work. The objectives of this work are kind of ongoing, and they started off as developing a microwave moisture sensing technology for cotton bales. Over time, it's evolved into discoveries where we found out using certain techniques, we can also treat metal-tied UD bales, which impact how the microwaves flow around the sensors. And also, the big push lately has been non-uniform wet bales, where you get into situations where if you have a lot of rain on the bale or the modules when they're stored out in the field, when you get to the ends of the modules, that extra moisture tends to create striped bales. And we've seen those types of bales both in South Texas after hurricane-type situations and also throughout the Southeast. Last year, we worked quite a bit on trying to figure out how to take these techniques we've been developing over the years and also see if we can make them FCC compliant, because obviously you can't sell a system if you can't get it past the regulatory commissions. And then the thing we discovered this last year during our testing in the field was techniques for doing dynamic sensor self-verification. The focus this year was really, after we got done with the working with the FCC compliance laboratories, was okay, let's build this new system so that it is compliant and could pass FCC regulations, and then test it to see can we still get the accuracy that we've been getting while implementing the under the constraints that the FCC has challenged us to abide by. And in the process of that, we went to the commercial field trial to work do this. Now, when we were out in the field, one of the things that really kind of struck us was, you know, if you're looking for very wet bales, you know, you're not looking for the normal bale. You're going along just fine, you're gin and, you know, and then all of a sudden you get this wet striped bale and you want to be able to detect it. And then so you got to set off a light or alarm or something like that and let the ginners know that this bale needs to be evaluated. Well, in order for that process to actually work, you have to have a lot of trust in that sensor. If you don't, they're going to ignore it, and it won't be of any use to anybody at all. The other issue we found out probably about 4 or 5 years now ago was that if you get a faulty sensor that's hooked up to a feedback control loop, and you have a sensor that's telling you you have dry bales, and it's actually very, very wet, which can happen with microwaves if you're not careful, you can produce large batches of very wet bales that cause lots of problems and get you into a lot of legal trouble. So those were some of the real concerns as we're moving forward to make sure that we're aware of these issues. And of course, the other thing too is we want a system that, you know, you don't want your ginners to have to stop and put a target in front of an antenna and just to verify the system, because they don't have time to be doing those types of operations to validate their sensor. So you would like something that's ongoing and that you could internally recalibrate yourself. Kind of going through the kind of a quick overview of where we've come. This is an electromagnetic model here. These little white dots are simulated metal bale ties. And what happens is those ripples in the field here. This is free space. This is a transmit antenna. This is the cotton itself. And you start to see ripples set up in the fields as you move through the cotton. And then when you get to the far side and you hit that other row of the metal bale ties, it sets up even stronger ripples. That shows up over here in a wave across the position as that bale, as that bale scans by you, you start to get ripples in the response. And what we found is that each frequency has a shift in that ripple. And so if you combine all those different frequencies together, you can do a very good job of smoothing out and removing the influence of those metal bale ties. And so those are some of the things we've been working on. We're trying to make all this stuff fit in the square peg, in the round peg and the square hole that the FCC has provided us with. So we want a lot of frequencies so we get accurate measurements, even in the influence of close walls where if you have, you know, in some gyms, you know, you've got the shoehorn where you put the bagging horn right next to the antennas, or you've got a wall or something like that. So the more frequencies we can get, the better off you do. The other real big constraint is you have only this limited number of frequencies you can actually transmit in. Otherwise, you run into restricted bands that are for search and rescue, fire, satellite communications and things like that, military. So you're limited on the frequency. So we had to get our antennas designed in such a way that they would cover a very broad spectrum that would allow us to implement this ultra-wideband technique yet still stay legal. And then the final constraint, which was really tough, was we had to get the total average power down below 0.1 microwatts. So no one's going to get hurt with this because it's extremely safe, because we can't transmit anything of any measurable power whatsoever to get this thing to work. Now, once we had that blueprint in front of us, we went about modifying our existing system to follow those constraints. And when we did this, first thing we did was we got rid of the antennas and we hooked it up to the ley lines and basically tested it for its ability to measure propagation delay through these delay lines to validate that the actual sensor itself, the electronics, could give you an accurate answer. And the delay lines basically are set up to, this would be like a 300-pound bale of, you know, very dry. Over around here at 4,000 picoseconds, you're looking at probably a 450-pound bale that is, again, very dry, 5% moisture content or so. Up here at 10,000, you're looking at probably a 600-pound bale that's 10-12% moisture content. So we're hoping that we've gotten to the point now to where we can detect these very, very wet bales. There still is a bit of a question as to how wet it can be before we may run into a situation to where we might get fooled by it. This is an overview of an actual test configuration. This setup right here is right here, these antennas. There's three antennas right there, and each one of those is doing a beam down that bale. And by doing that, what we do is we're able to get different layers of that bale as it goes by, which enables us to look at, if we had a bale, this is the top section of a bale that was wet on one side, like the far side of this particular bale right there. And then the middle, so that was a very wet side that would support mold growth. The center was moderately wet, and the close side would be actually dry. So we really decided we needed multiple antennas to do a good job for these wet stripe bales. This is a page of the software we developed this last year, and what it does is the three different colors at the top, that's the L1, that's short for lane number one, which is the L, which is the one antenna that's the farthest away. L2 is the antenna that's sensing the center of the cotton bale, and L3 is the one that's the near side. And as you can see, we've got it set up for low percent moisture content, which would be one standard deviation below the mean, the average moisture content, and then the high. So basically, we're getting three numbers out of this that tell us that this particular bale had a lot of variability. And one of the things we want to pay attention to is that in the L1 lane on the dry side, the variability across that bale as it scans by is actually fairly low. But as you move over to across that bale and you get into the wet side, notice the variability becomes much more higher. The chart down below is a ongoing picture of the history as the bales go by the antenna. And we're kind of settling on this design now as a useful target, but we're open to ideas as to what Jenners and folks would want as far as some type of interface. So anyways, we set up the system, and then we took it to the field, and we started to do some tests. And while we were out there, we were thinking about this sensor health and how we would do some kind of online calibration without having to have any interaction from anybody. And one of the things we really noticed that really stuck out to us, and I'm sure most people who spend any time in gyms know this, is that the moisture content really doesn't change very fast. It's pretty stable most of the time. So based on that, these sensors are actually a sensor that measures a combination of density times moisture content. So if you hold the moisture content fixed, your sensor should respond to density changes. And since you've got a scale right there, you can use that scale as a quick check to figure out whether or not your sensor is actually working and working the way it's supposed to, because you know what the response should be for that response. And so that was the hypothesis. To test it, we took a short 30-bale calibration run, and we used that calibration run to set up the basically the slope-intercept correction for bale weights on moisture content. And then using that calibration run, we noticed right away that there is a significant correlation across that 30-bale run of about a point R squared to 0.78, showing a very strong correlation to density and not moisture content. Using that equation that we did on that calibration 31, we took an independent set of 30 bales that was done at an earlier time, and we used that calibration to correct for the density changes based on the incoming bale weights, and it does a pretty good job of removing the influence across that period of time. The other thing we noticed is that if you look at the variance across that 30 bales, and you just, you know, basically scatter your data of your moisture content with corrected versus uncorrected, it cuts the variance in about half. So basically, it's a fairly simple concept, but it gives us two real key measurements to look at if you're looking at the health of the sensor. You can look at the variance of the raw moisture sensor data should be reduced after you do the correction. And then the second thing is there should be a high correlation across that short 30-bale run. Now, obviously, if you get into some situations, this isn't going to track all the time. But over many times of the day or the week, this situation should hold and should be a very easy thing to implement in our sensor, as well as a PLC programmer could implement this with another type of microwave sensor as well. It wouldn't have to be limited to this. They could do it and just track it. So basically, a proposed algorithm is to periodically track and compare the bale weights to the last 30 microwave sensor readings and ensure a high correlation exists between bale weights and the uncorrected readings. And then two, compare the variance of the uncorrected sensor readings to the bale weight corrected readings and ensure the variance has been reduced for the corrected readings. Conclusion. The new FCC-compliant design that we've come up with for the ultra-wide microwave moisture imaging system, we deployed it into the commercial gen for evaluation. The evaluation is still ongoing. Currently, what we're doing is we're going to be hooking up a linear actuator to the bale so that as we push those bales past the sensor, we can go back and say, okay, that reading was at this particular location, then go into the bale and sample at that key location. Currently, we can statically move the bale and take a measurement and then sample it. But, you know, there's no guarantee that dynamically you would get the same answer. So that's work we're going to be working on this spring. The field observation of the system provided stable readings that tracked well across the typical bale contents, typically averaged around 7.5% moisture content. We did this for several thousand bales this last year. The system was tested in the laboratory on both dry and wet bales. They came from the same gen, so they had the same bale box configuration, and we observed the moisture content of those bales before and after the test and found stable readings for both. The proposed health algorithm was observed to find a fairly simple means to achieve a fairly robust mechanism for correcting the sensor in the field. And that about does it. Any questions? Yes, gravimetric. That's what we're going to be doing this spring. Is basically, as we push that bale past it, we're going to be taking a series of readings across there, and we're basically taking about 120 readings per bale, so about 40 per stripe, and then so we'll get an indication of exactly where in that bale it is. We'll go in and do gravimetric evidence and tear it apart and basically take about 120 gravimetric samples. And we picked up about 15 bales to start with, and that's also work we're going to be continuing on this year. Hopefully we're going to find some wet bales. So if anyone has any wet bales, call me. We'll be happy to buy them this year.
Probably get some takers on that. All right. Thank you. Good job. Any other questions?